Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the first of a new season of Pubs, Pints, People. My name's Claire Phillips. I'm joined by Matt Bundy and Ant Fiorillo. Hi, both of you, and a virtual cheers for the start of a new season.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. Yes, it starts to be a virtual cheers, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's still just.
Yeah, we didn't know what would be happening when we come to record the new series, but blow me down, it's March, isn't it? March 2021.
Wow.
Feels like this the last kind of year and a half just all kind of rolls into one, doesn't it? And I think things aren't looking too different to March 2020. And when we first started speaking to people as well, you know, we're still in lockdown, pubs are still closed. I actually got a Bill Murray t-shirt from my brother for Christmas, and I do feel like we're a little bit in Groundhog Day at the moment. It's pretty appropriate. You got me a good gift there.
Yeah, I mean, at time of recording, things look like they might be tentatively shifting in the right direction for us all, and fingers crossed that is going to be the case not too soon. I really can't believe we've even made it to season three, guys. Who'd have thought when we started this as a little project last year that we'd be here today?
I know what you mean. Despite public demand, we're back. And, it's been lovely to see people's comments, especially when it was teased on Twitter that we were coming back and people saying lovely things. So thank you so much for that. You know, we do it for the community. You know, it's made by the community for you. And it's lovely to hear from you. And I'll tell you what, if you've only just discovered us, though, then good news. You have the opportunity to binge listen to the full first two series as well as this. You lucky people.
Oh, wow.
And if you're still here once you've done that binge listen, then make sure you subscribe either via your favourite pod channel or follow us on Twitter, of course, at Pubs Pints People, so you don't miss a thing. We'll have some great interviews and plenty of banter as well. For this season, we've got a new feature where we'll be sharing our favourite pubs from the coveted Good Beer Guide 2021. And hopefully, as we're now counting down to the end of lockdown and the return of some kind of normality, we can feature some of these pubs we're looking forward to getting back to.
Oh, hear, hear, Claire. I see this as a wonderful game of bingo, actually. Yes, we've all got the Good Beer Guide in hand, and we'll be sharing all of those with you throughout the season. And do you know, one thing that is different from March 2020 is the fact that in 2021, this year, is the year of Camera celebrating its 50th anniversary. It's something we'll be speaking a lot about at the end of Season 2. So as you can imagine, we're not going to pass up the chance to celebrate this golden anniversary, even if we can't do it in the pub just yet. So Claire, what are some of the plans?
Well, seeing as you've asked, Ant, to mark the 50 years, Camera's planning to recognise the 50 pubs, clubs, brewers, cider producers, individuals, branches and campaigning groups who've helped further Camera's aims over the past half a century. And our members are the ones who get to decide the winners. Now, the nominations close on Camera's birthday, which is the 16th of March. And I must double check that I've put my nomination in too, because I've had somebody in mind. Better make sure I've done it. But if you'd like to suggest someone, make sure you visit camera.org.uk/50years/golden awards.
Golden Awards, eh? I mean, it sounds a bit like the Golden Globes, but with less Ricky Gervais and more beer.
Yeah, that's
sounds like an improvement on both on both counts there. That sounds great. Now, you can also find out about some of the other exciting initiatives that are taking place throughout the year, this special year, on the 50th anniversary landing page, which includes the Good Beer Box events, 50 great campaigns to recognise, and new merchandise. I love a bit of merch. And that's available to purchase to support 50 years of Camera.
Now, there's also the new 50th book from the fabulous Laura Hadland, who I had the pleasure of interviewing in the programme last year. So if you want to go back and have a listen to that one, she actually appeared in Season 1, Episode 10. And we'll even stick a link to that in the show notes this week. 50 Years of Camera is the book, and it comes out on the 16th of March. And you can pre-order now and even get your hands on a very special limited edition version if you're super quick.
Wow. Well, I reckon that Camera must be one of the most successful consumer campaigns in British history. I feel lucky that I don't actually know what it was like to walk into a pub and see that you're stuck with cake bitter, cake mild and cake lager as your only options.
Yeah, and it didn't matter what they poured you, as it all tasted the same anyway. I suppose actually it's a little bit like when you go into a, you know, a hotel bar today, maybe you're doing a business trip or whatever, and you go down, you think, I'll have something refreshing, and then you lament at the fact there are a couple of lagers, a Guinness, and maybe, if you're really lucky, a token bitter to choose from. But, of course, thanks to the success of public support for the Camera movement, we're really lucky today that, despite that, 70% of pubs do serve real ale nowadays.
I'll drink to that, and I am very grateful to Camera for giving me the choice that I love. I tell you what, we are standing on the shoulders of giants from the Camera movement across all those 50 years who made this possible. Thank you, guys.
Yes.
And I tell you what, if we want that kind of choice to be around in another 50 years, then our real ale brewers have got to find ways to get their product to consumer. Mm-hmm. That's the only way they're going to survive, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's why this week we're going to be looking at how pubs have been innovative in the face of COVID-19.
That's if COVID even has a face, I suppose.
It's a scary thought, isn't it? I mean, I guess
surely COVID wears a mask.
Yeah, that's
true. Think so.
I've always imagined it'll look a bit like my mother-in-law. But,
oh, dear.
It's all right.
Is your mother-in-law an avid listener of the show, yeah, Matt?
She is.
She won't be from now on.
Yeah, big Real Ale fan. Hello, Valerie. thanks for tuning in. Now, we're going to be speaking with a brewer and a publican who faced the challenges of lockdown and have come up with some amazingly innovative ways to survive and keep their businesses ready for the recovery.
And both of these interviews did take place before Christmas, so there obviously wasn't a lockdown in place when they were recorded. So if there are any references that might have since been overtaken by the current events, then unfortunately we apologise for that. But we'll hand over to our roving correspondent Harry Davies, who's been speaking to Ian Smith from Fine Ales, which is a family-owned brewery about 40 miles northwest of Glasgow. And Ian's been telling us about their take-home cask ale scheme.
Did this start with the pandemic, or was this going on before, and kind of what's the process with it?
We've been doing mini casks since well before I joined the company, so for years and years and years. So it's cask beer. It's packaged the exact same way as our full-size casks. You know, most of them are going out with finings and with live yeast in them. And when the lockdown came, the first lockdown, obviously everything shifted towards an e-commerce slant. And for us, it was all about trying to find new ways to kind of engage with our community and engage with drinkers and those people who would go and find our beers in the pub. We were looking to try and get our beers to them wherever they were now, and for most people that was at home. So mini cask sales immediately went through the roof. It was kind of crazy how quickly that kind of took off as a format for us. And I think we had the benefit of doing them for years and years already, whereas a lot of breweries kind of had to very quickly make plans to buy them in and find suppliers and do labels and stuff, but we were all set up ready to go. And then one of the very first ideas that I think we had in the brewery was like, we want to do a Jarl subscription. Jarl is our flagship beer. It makes up about kind of 45-50% of our production. And then seeing the mini cask take off, it was a case of, you know, let's do a cask subscription. And then kind of from there, we just kind of developed the idea. And it took us a little while to get kind of to the point for the subscription club to be ready to launch. So we didn't launch until June, which is slightly later than I think we all wanted it to be. But that allowed us to kind of get the tech set up in the back end to get new boxes in, so that we had boxes to send two mini casks to each person out. It was part of an effort just to try and find new ways of reaching beer drinkers and people who wanted to drink our beers. I do think certain beers work better in mini cask and mini keg than others. We mostly stick to session beers from the mini cask club because you want to drink them within 3 days of first kind of opening and tapping. We did put out some 7% stouts in mini cask for Christmas, but I was just like, for me, the idea of trying to drink 5 litres of 7% stout in 3 days, I'm not sure I'm up to it, to be honest.
I, for one, had never really thought about buying a cask from my local brewery or ordering one because, you know, you're having it at the pub all the time. But then suddenly when the taste is gone and you want to support your local brewery, I find myself Googling, does the local brewery do these casks? And have seen kind of the scramble to do it.
It's absolutely what it is. I myself was kind of one of those people who was just like, oh, I could really go for a really good pint of cask. A lot of people felt the same way, which is where Mini Cask Club came from in the end. We did have public customers come and buy 4.5 gallon pins from us, and then a couple of people actually bought full 9 gallon casks because they had, you know, home bar setups and stuff. So the desire was out there for cask beer, and if they couldn't get it in the pub, then people were going to find ways of getting it. And yeah, it was for us to kind of step up and give them a way of getting it as easily and as reasonably priced as possible. I don't want to say cheaply because our beer is not cheap, but you know, we wanted to give people a good deal with it.
I'm looking here as well, you also have like a discovery where it's not just your, you mentioned the Jarl, there's also like a wildcard ale.
It was originally planned to be an all Jarl subscription, and then it was like, well, no, there's still desire out there for people to try new things. And I think if you look at other beer subscriptions that are available, you know, craft beer subscriptions, cans and bottles, a lot of the excitement comes from trying something new every month. In a normal year, we'd be producing 50 plus new beers, and you know, we're good at that. We've got a really creative brewery team who can put together recipes really well, and our one-off beers tend to do really well for us. And we were like, well, we've got the skills here, we've got the kit here, we've got the knowledge, so let's give people the option. And we weren't expecting it to be a big part of the mini cask club. We were expecting to have far more people who wanted 10 litres of Jarl every month than people who wanted 5 litres of Jarl and 5 litres of something they'd never tried. But Discovery members are now over, I think, 85% of our mini cask club members. It's crazy that people were just like keen to try something new, and I think that's, there's a perk to it as well, because our mini cask club members get to try these beers before they go on public sale, so they get them at least a week before any public sale, and sometimes completely exclusively. So in January we've got 2 new beers for Discovery members rather than one, and they won't go on public sale afterwards, or at least that's the plan right now.
How many are you pumping out?
We're up to a few hundred mini cask club members, so they each get 2 mini casks a month, so it's between 250 and 300. So, and it kind of fluctuates a little bit. We had a really big push in November, we did some advertising with camera, and we got quite a lot of new members, and December's been a bit slower, I think, because a lot of people are stocking up and they know that they're not going to get their beer until early January. So it's ebbs and flows, and people dip in and out as well. So we've been going for 6 months now, and we've had people who come in and, you know, they'll do it for 3 months but they'll have to end their subscription. But you know, those 3 months for us, it's still hugely valuable. So as long as each month we're kind of, more people are signing up than are leaving the club, then we're happy. You know, that's where we want to get to, is just keep getting the beer out to people, and and keep the club growing, because 250 300 people is not a huge number, but it is a substantial number for us. It's making a difference for our business, and yeah, we're so grateful for the support and the trust that people have put into us to automatically, you know, send them beer every month in exchange for 40 quid.
How do you see Cask Ale's survival?
I think cask ale will survive. I don't have any concerns that, you know, that COVID-19 is signalling the end of that as a beer format. I do think it's going to have a little bit of a struggle as we kind of come out of this. But then I think back to the summer, when back in the summer where things were, you know, allowed to open up a little bit again, we weren't expecting many of our pub customers to take full-size casks. So, you know, we thought, you know, they'll play it safe, they'll just stick to the keg beers. But the demand was crazy. We had so many of our customers, and we're so thankful to them, that immediately, as soon as they were allowed to open again, they wanted Jarl on the bar, or they wanted one of our other year-round beers on the bar. And it took us all by surprise, to be honest, at how quickly they were kind of keen to get back up and get back pouring cask beer. And I hope that'll be the case again as we kind of head into 2021, when we get to the point where things can relax a little bit. You know, the desire to drink the beer is still there. We know that, you know, Mini Cask Club and all the other breweries who are doing brilliant mini casks is showing that. And I think the desire for publicans to sell that beer is still there, which we saw in the summer. So I think the biggest threat is kind of how many of the pubs who do cask ale and do it well will be able to survive in the new year. And I'm hopeful that many of them will, because, you know, we're doing everything we can to support our customers, and I know that a lot of other breweries are as well. So this is far from the end of cask ale. I do think it will survive. I just think it's going to be, like everything else, a bit challenging for a little while.
I've heard some people talk about kind of a pub explosion. People are thinking, well, we're going to have to be ready to brew up for that occasion.
It's such an unknown. I do think that there will be some people who are desperate to get back out and do things and find things and you know, have exciting experiences again. And whether that's coming to see us at our brewery tap room, or, you know, just getting down the pub because they've missed it so much, I do think there will be a group of people who are very keen to get out and start living again.
What is so fantastic about what you're doing is, I had a lot of people say to me, you know, I do like real ale, but it kind of mostly for me is the pub. And then now that they are buying in bottle conditioned and mini casks and mini kegs at home, I think a lot of people are kind of finding a newfound appreciation.
Even when the pubs reopen, I do think that we'll keep the mini cask club going. Hopefully we'll still see the kind of e-commerce, the online orders that we've had, and the support we've had on our online shop. We'll still see that going, because again, there will be people who are wanting to be a bit more cautious. So, you know, it's good to have that option there. If you want real ale at the pub, you know, the pubs will hopefully be back to some level of safe service again. And if you're not quite ready to do that, or it's not something you're comfortable with, then there are still going to be options to you know, sign up to our mini cask club or just order mini casks from other breweries and things.
So where can people buy your beer, and who else would you recommend from the area?
Our online shop has been going strong this year, and we're so grateful for the support. So if you want to join the Minicast Club or check out what we've got available, you can go to fineales.com/shop, and we've got minicasts, mini kegs, cans, bottles, all sorts of stuff up there. So yeah, check it out. And the Minicast Club is fineales.com/minicast club. If you go to our blog, there'll be a preview of the next Discovery beer. So the brand new beer that goes to Minicast Club members before anyone else, we profile that beer on our blog every month to let members know what's coming. So whenever you're hearing this, go on the blog and you can check out what the next month Minicast Club Discovery beer will be. In terms of good beer from Scotland, there's plenty to choose from. You know, Loch Lomond, who are doing, you know, they do very, very good cask beer, and their Silky Stout's excellent, and they're just down the road from us. You look at breweries like Overtone, who are making, for me, some of the best kind of hazy IPAs, craft IPAs in the country, and Fierce Beer up in Aberdeen, who started redoing cask again just before all this kicked off, but they're good friends of ours. And then you've got some more of the kind of more traditional cask breweries, people like Inverell and things like that, who are doing great beer as well. And Stewart's, I should give a shout out to Stewart's because we're good friends with them. So they're over in Edinburgh, and they do a huge range of things, from outstanding cask beer all the way through to, yeah, again, sours and IPAs and things. So yeah, plenty of good beer in Scotland, and worth a bit of exploration to see who's up here and what they're doing.
The fact that you can still support your favourite breweries from home, I think, is a blessing.
Absolutely.
Now I'm seeing you getting pictures sent to me every day on WhatsApp of, look, I'm drinking Stay Puft or something from Tiny Rebel, and people are stocking up with great beers, and it's a good thing to see.
I hope that people have enjoyed the opportunity to explore beer in a different way this year. To an extent, it's not going to replicate the pub, and you know, you're not going to have that going in and be like, oh, what's on the guest taps today? But the way that the brewing industry has responded in terms of the e-commerce offerings and local bottle shops as well, you've got to give it to them in terms of their ability to adapt and survive and showcase a range of breweries. And I think a lot of people as well are probably drinking more local than they were before, because that support local message has been so strong this year. So it's not the same. It will never be the same as the pub, but I do hope that people out there have taken the opportunity to try lots of new things this year and enjoy beer in a different way and find enjoyment in it, not just, you know, picking up the same thing every week in the supermarket, but, you know, seeing what breweries are in a 5 mile radius of me, what breweries are available from my local bottle shop. Same as you, I've got friends who put the same 4-pack of cans in their trolley every week from a supermarket, who have ordered from us from the first time, who have said, oh, have you tried this brewery? There is a conversation happening there, and hopefully there is positives to take out of this year, because there's a lot of negatives.
And that's lovely to hear about what they're doing to keep the beer flowing in the Highlands, and it's great that they all seem really supportive of each other.
Yeah, I think you've really got to take your hat off to this determination of survival, and it's great to hear them all giving a shout out and a nod to all of the other Scottish brewers. I think it's a lesson that all small businesses need to stick together.
I mean, it's worth checking out the Mini Cask Club. You know, maybe it could bring a bit of excitement into lockdown life. I've had that with the Brew to You app. You know, when I get my order coming through, yeah, you know, it's like Christmas.
It is.
You know, it's marvellous. It's coming through. It kind of gives you a little bit of entertainment, and it's open it up. You get a smorgasbord of ales to try, things that you sometimes maybe wouldn't have even get the chance to go if it's all from around the country. And it's all about getting away from the supermarket aisles and supporting the brewers direct. Now, have you guys tried Fine's Jarl beer? Because I don't know if you noticed, guys, flicking through my big book of facts, that they're actually one of the first UK breweries to use Citra hops.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I haven't tried it, but I do know that Oakham in Peterborough area, they have a beer called Citra, or they used to.
Oh, yeah, it's still there today, Claire. It absolutely is.
That's my interesting fact about Citra.
It's an interesting one. I remember fondly the summer virtual Great British Beer Festival last year, and all those that are listening that were there will know that we did a series of interviews over that weekend, and I was interviewing for the hops event. We spoke a lot about the Citra hop and how that kind of came into its place in brewing. I seem to remember a lot of the conversation was about how we had quite oldie worldie hop varieties, and then when Citra was successfully grown here, everybody wanted to use it. And you can see why. Citra is a wonderful hop. It's very refreshing. It's got that nice lip smacking in the chops at the end of the pint. So yeah, but I didn't know they were the first to use it. So yeah, that is an interesting fact, Mr. Bundy.
Maybe I'll have, as a regular feature now, I'll have to have one of my facts I can pull out like that.
Very good.
I thought it was interesting to hear in the interview what I was saying about a possible surge in demand. It's interesting because I do wonder what's going to happen the day we're allowed to go back to the pub. I can never work out on all of the dates that have been given what it's going to be, and you never know what's going to happen. But
I guess it's outside or inside, that's
well, absolutely.
I just don't know if my landlord is going to be able to actually pour any beer, because I think everyone's just going to go and give him a big love and not let him go. You know what I mean?
Yeah, a big old hug. Yeah, if we're allowed at that point, who knows?
Oh, but, who knows? I mean, I'll be hugging the pint pot.
That'll be it, yeah, hugging the cast.
At the moment, I'm not sure whether I'm looking forward more to the pub reopening or the hairdresser reopening. It's a close... obviously, it's the pub, obviously.
I'll be going down with my long, flowing locks. It'll be brilliant down
the pub.
It'll
look like Cameron in the 70s all over again, won't it? They were all with their long hair on.
Well, I'd say, what do you think about that day, that wonderful day that comes? You know, on the one hand, you've got to think it'll be the biggest party you'll ever see, but on the other hand, maybe it'd be make more sense to spread things out a bit. You know, don't make it this massive day where we're all going to suddenly emerge and go down the pub together, and everybody tries to cram into their local on the same night.
I mean, you know, obviously some won't be able to open if they haven't got outdoor space initially, but there's also the supply chain issues, because we saw with previous lockdowns that the government didn't necessarily take into account the fact that pubs and restaurants had ordered lots of food and drink that would have to be used, and then if they weren't allowed to reopen, couldn't be used. So yeah. I think real ale brewers are going to have to be told about the pub reopening, and I think, you know, they've said they'll review it a week before each announcement, but to be honest, they need to have their beer ready to be served, and that's not long enough. So they need the confidence it's actually going to happen and that the investment won't just be pulled away.
Yeah, and do you know what? Judging by the government's track record so far, I can't say I'm a whole bunch optimistic about it, but let's wait and see. I've got everything crossed that I'll be reunited with my favourite table in my favourite pub with my favourite drink. So it's a good thing, of course, to take part in initiatives like the Cask Ale Club and that they're springing up, and they really do give us beer drinkers the chance to support those local brewers directly.
Yeah, and we've certainly been ordering beer from local brewers directly, a couple in our area, Colchester Brewery and Harwich Town Brewery, and they've been delivering and it's been great. But there is a point, as you say, when we really have to hope that we're going to get back to the pub. Obviously, the vaccination seems to be going well at the moment, so it might not be too much longer. We have got some dates possibly in the diary, and we thought it would be great to get our imaginations in gear with a section that we're calling on the podcast, "We're Only Here for the Beer." Now, that's a bit tongue-in-cheek, because in the early 70s, those words might even have been a deciding factor in the birth of Camera, actually, because it was the advertising slogan for a beer called Double Diamond. But we're not going to talk about Double Diamond. We're going to delve into the Good Beer Guide and talk about the pubs that we're looking forward to visiting when we're finally allowed to do it. And, I guess I'll start with my edition of the Good Beer Guide 2021, which I've got here. I've been through it with my marker pen. And
it's like a bucket list for boozers, isn't it? You
know? It is, yeah. I'm going to start off in Essex. But I know that as well as the bucket list, you've got more thoughts as well, haven't you? And not just beer, of course, Matt.
No, obviously. I mean, the cider, perry, other tipples are available in this virtual flight of imagination that we're taking to go to these beers. But I think as the marketing man, you know, of the team, bucket list for booze has got a lovely alliteration to it, very key in the line. So I think we'll go with that. But it's all about pubs, isn't it? Old favourites, good memories, ones we've been to and can't wait to go to again. Maybe ones we hope to visit. Bucket list is a good one.
So go on, Claire, then kick us off then. What have you got for us this week?
Okay, so we're only here for the beer, and I'm looking at a place called Topsfield in North Essex. It's a pub called The Green Man, And what's interesting about this pub, it's a community-owned pub, but it's got a brewery next door to it, which is also community-owned. In fact, I think it was either the first, might still be the only community-owned brewery in the country. And the shop in the village is community-owned as well. So there's a lot going on there. I love this pub. It's got a lovely garden looking out over the countryside. They do, obviously, their own beers from the brewery next door, but a really good selection of changing beers. Lovely food. It's just a really friendly village pub. My running club usually hosts some runs from there. So, you know, they cater for runners in muddy shoes, dog walkers, somebody from the village just popping in for a drink. It's a lovely community pub. I can't wait to get back to it.
Well, that sounds wonderful, Claire. Matt, what about you?
Well, I think when you've got a guide like this, you think it's got to go, first of all, to your hometown, hasn't it? You can't help but flick through to
just
find
to
it.
Just to see which ones are in there, definitely.
Just got to see which ones made it great. And for me, it's Ulverston in Cumbria, is where my parents live now. And there's a few that I was surprised weren't in there, to be honest. You know, a lot of worthy candidates in the town. Really good town for beer. But one that is The Mill, which, as the name suggests, the wonderful thing about it is it has a proper miller's wheel that goes through the middle of the pub, which I always find makes it a bit special. And there's a proper cask bar on the bottom floor where you can get some wonderful brews from lots from Ulverston Brewery. You know, you can't get lower beer miles, I would say, than that, just round the corner, the Laker Brewery. So that's the place I would most like to be at the moment. With my parents, just coming into the bar and we can share a pint, that'd be lovely.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
And if I remember rightly, Matt, one of your first beer choices when we started off this was Laughing Gravy at Ulverston, wasn't it?
It was. I'm obsessed with my hometown beers. I think it's fantastic. But wonderful. And what about you?
Well, like you, I was like, let me have a look at the hometown and see what's in the area. But in the excitement of the news over the past few days, we've actually booked ourselves a little jolly holiday, a little staycay, as they say. We're heading over to Great Yarmouth. Now, it's a part of the world I've never been to, so luckily for me, I've got the good beer guide, and I am clearly going to be spoilt for choice while I'm there. So actually, I thought, rather than pick out a pub, I'm going to do all of them, but if you're a listener and you've been to that neck of the woods and you'd like to make a recommendation for me, then why not give us a shout on at Pubs Pints People on Twitter. I'm going to be up there in June. So, yeah, give me a shout. Give me a recommendation. If you want, I'll even meet up and have a beer with you. How's about that? But, you know, one at a time and it's your round.
What an offer. I mean, you've also got Goulston, which is just down the road from Yarmouth, and there's a couple of pubs in the guide from Goulston as well. So I think there's probably a pub for every day of the week that you're there.
Very good.
Well, I'll be there. Bring cash.
Bring cash and the camera card, and I'll tell my wife that I'm there for a fortnight. She's only there for four nights. There we are. So there we are. There's Here for the Beer. We're on Here for the Beer. And if you've got your own copy of the Good Beer Guide, then make sure you flick through it and maybe put some of your own recommendations on there. As Claire said, we'll choose them each week. And if you've not got a copy of the Good Beer Guide, then now's your chance to jump onto the camera website, get into the shop area of the site and order one. So, with that, when the lockdown is finally lifted, we have to hope that our favourite independent pubs have survived and we can start to rebuild. Now, the key for them, of course, is maintaining cash flow, because government grants and loans can only stretch so far. Now, our second interview is with the kind of landlord we'd all like to have in our local, somebody who cares passionately for the community and understands the role of the local pub in keeping things a-going. Here's our correspondent, Dean Barrett, speaking to Rob Scarhill of the Orange Tree Pub in Bordock. Oh, I know that place. Lovely place. Just north of Stevenage.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for joining us on the camera podcast. I'm sorry I can't just pop down the road and see you like I would normally do, but this is second best and all our listeners will be glad to hear you.
Hi, everybody.
Let's just start off by who you are and how you got to run your pub in Bordock.
OK, my name is Rob Scarhill. Originally from Stafford in Staffordshire. In my sort of previous career, I started off working on the internet at Staffordshire University quite early doors, which somehow led to me being involved with Bass Brewers, who took me on in an emerging technology department in the early 90s. So beer and the internet is kind of what I've done for most of my life. I went from Bass Brewers to Diageo, and I did a lot of work for them, flying around the world wearing a suit a lot, and then went to work for a financial services company. And then, you know, sort of about 10, 12 years ago, I kind of got a bit tired of the corporate life and decided that actually I want to run a pub. I've been involved in pubs since I was 14. I was a Bass Cellarman when I was 18. So I kind of decided that the the city life was no longer for me, and started to try and buy a pub, actually, in Baldock. And somehow ended up talking to Green King about maybe some kind of temporary tenancy so I could get some more experience of what the back end of running a pub was like. Because obviously I've been a barman and cellarman and, you know, manager and all those kind of things for most of my life on and off. And they said, no, we haven't got a pub that we can sell you, but there is this pub called The Orange Tree, and it's not doing particularly well. And if you want, you can just go and run it on 2-week basis. And if you don't like it, you know, leave and we'll not charge you any rent and all that kind of stuff. And so I came to The Orange Tree, and I didn't really like it at all, to be honest. But after 3 or 4 days, I'd fallen in love with it, even though they'd condemned the boiler and they'd condemned all the heating and they condemned the kitchen and all that kind of stuff. And then I decided to give it a go, managed to do a deal with Green King about being free of tie on quite a lot of ales. And here I am 10 years later.
Indeed. And actually, as a local, albeit from neighbouring Letchworth, I remember coming to the old Orange Tree with my kids and giving up on it. But that was before your time. And now you're a local hero, literally, a community award from Camera. And you did a lot during lockdown one for the community. And I know as we speak, you're preparing for coming out of lockdown two. But how did you come up with the things that you did first during lockdown? And then we'll talk about what you did after with the Orange Tree.
Okay, well, on the 20th of March, I just got back from a holiday in Glencoe, actually, which is one of my favourite places in Britain. And obviously we'd found out on the way home that the pub would be closing. And one of the things I'm quite proud about at the Orange Tree is we've never closed. From the day I took over on the 1st of November 2010, even when we had the pub in various states of disarray, we've never closed. We've opened every single day, albeit sometimes restrictedly. And when we were operating normally, we never closed before 11 o'clock. Even if I would sit there with the Times crossword in the early days on a Sunday, with the last customer having left at about 8:45, you know, I'd still be there waiting for that 10:30 last orders. Because it's important to me that if you run a pub, you stay open or you stay up to your published hours at least, because it's rude if you don't. So when I woke up with a very bad hangover on the March the 21st, which is a Saturday, I decided, well, there must be a way that we can keep doing something because off licences can stay open. And a couple of very quick phone calls to my friends in the industry confirmed that actually, yes, off licence can remain open. You have an off licence. You can continue to sell your stuff. So I said, right, OK. And I put something on Facebook. We opened for 3 hours on the Saturday. The irony is that there would have been a Camera event on that Friday night, the AGM. And so I'd actually been asked to get a load of beer in from a brewery quite far away. So we got this beer in specially. So I had a cellar full of beer that we got specially in for Camera. And I thought, well, let's see if we can sell this stuff. And in those 3 hours, we, you know, it took a good 300 or 400 quid's worth of sales. It was very busy. And then opened again on the Sunday, did the same thing for 3 hours. We sold quite a lot of beer. So I thought, maybe there's something in this.
But you didn't stop there, did you? Because as soon as I came in for beer, I was finding succulent asparagus. So how did that and other things end up in your shop?
On the Sunday, whenever that was, the 22nd, a chap came in and said, have you got any vegetables? And normally on a Sunday, we do 50-odd Sunday lunches. So I had a kitchen full of, you know, potatoes and broccoli and all this kind of stuff. And I said, well, you can have some of that if you like. And then someone else came in and said, have you got any potatoes? He says, yes, you can have some of these. And I thought, well, you know what? I wonder if we can sell this stuff. So when it came to Monday, I rang up my suppliers and said, I want to sell some vegetables, fresh fruit, vegetables and that kind of stuff in the shop. What do you think? And they went, mate, we've just lost 50% of our business overnight. You can have whatever you like. And so it went from there. And, you know, within a day, we'd set up a shop.
And then you started doing fundraising quizzes. The amount of money that you raised was extraordinary. Would you like to tell the listeners about that?
It became relatively clear with Green King that I wouldn't be paying full rent. There'll be some kind of rent discount. And it also became fairly clear in the first few days that we wouldn't be paying any business rates and that also we'd get some kind of cash lump sum from the government. So I'm thinking that I was, you know, I'm in my pub and I've got a place to live and I've, you know, I can sell beer, albeit to take away. But it's not costing me anything. And I didn't feel good about making money out of what we were doing. So I decided we must be able to do something with the proceeds from the shop instead of just me trousering it. So we worked it out that what we would do is we'd sell everything at cost plus 30%. And that we would give 20% of that away. So keep 10% to pay the electricity bill and all that kind of stuff. We give 20% away to local musicians who were struggling. And those musicians, obviously, that they keep pubs alive, some of these guys. With the pubs closed, it was fairly obvious that they're going to have a fairly massive income stream stopped. And they weren't going to get support from the government. So that's what I decided to do. I decided to give all the profits away. And we did a quiz every Tuesday. So I did that online. We did bingo on Saturday. We did that online. And we also had a little virtual folk club going where we would take recordings from artists and we would do those online every other week. And we ended up, in those 15 weeks of lockdown one, we raised £22,000.
And a little thing you did to help us in Canberra in that was you sponsored a prize when we did the Hitchin Festival Goes Virtual.
Yes, that's right. And the chap came down, very delighted with his gallon of beer. He got, from memory, he took Mansion Mild, which is amazing. Obviously, Plum Porter, which you sell all the time, which is a fabulous beer. And Brewster's Hophead, I think, had a couple of those as well.
So having become a greengrocery as well as a pub, when we came out of lockdown, you didn't call it a day. You got even more innovative with what you've constructed out the back of the pub.
When it became clear that there were going to be restrictions on like the rule of six, 2 meter distancing and all that, it became clear that one of the negative things about having a pub that's got lots of small rooms is you only get so many people in it with those restrictions in place. I mean, in some of our rooms, we could literally only get three tables of four. So we decided that outside was the way to go. And we've got quite a big garden here, but also we decided to put a great big marquee on top of our petanque piste, which gave us a 12 meter by 9 meter marquee. And I don't tend to do things by halves. And so we decided if we were going to do that, we might as well build some little booths for people to sit in as well and some beach huts for them to sit in the garden and build a bar outside too, a proper fully serviced bar with a full standalone cellar. And that meant that we could not only get sort of 90-odd people in tables of six in a very safe environment inside, and we split our garden up so that we can get another 90 people safely outside as well. And we didn't open the inside of the pub until the table service rule came in September. And we put some music events on as well. And honestly, we were flying. I mean, we were 20 to 30 to 40% up based on last year with what we were doing outside. So it was great to a point.
Actually, that's amazing. So you, okay, you went through adversity, you helped out the community, but then you came out of it up on the previous year.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. And we shifted some ale as well in those days. And before we were doing the normal lot and we just had the five ales on, when we went to the marquee outside, we were able to take up to eight real ales and still shift them really well. So I was quite pleased about that. We had some decent beer on.
And for your anniversary, your 10th anniversary, you put on a bit of a do, which I was lucky enough to attend.
Yeah, I mean, we'd done a couple of these throughout the summer, really. We did Glastonbury, which was a three-day sort of music festival, which we sold out completely, 360 seats in three sessions. It was phenomenal weekend. So we did for my 10th anniversary, which was obviously 1st of November this year. We had a little sort of folk festival, a music festival, and that sort of thing, all trying to be COVID safe and making sure that the distancing was there and obviously table service at the time. But yeah, it was a really good weekend. And particularly that day, I obviously decided to buy everyone beer. So I gave it all away that day, well, which I need to stop doing.
Looking forward, we've had lockdown two and we got past Christmas. What do you see for the summer?
Summer for us will be about music and musicians. Because of the space that we've now got out there, it's not just a big beer garden with plastic, picnic tables. There certainly seems to be a bit more interest in some of the ales that, particularly that we're selling. I think doing a good sausage and ale festival in March and April, it will be a cool thing to do. And then something obviously later on, and then looking forward to September, October, November, a winter ales festival, because I just love my porters and my stouts. So an opportunity to have a dozen of them on in that marquee would be amazing.
Well, thank you, Rob. You've been a strong favourite of the Canberra North Hearts branch for years, as you know. Thanks for coming on the podcast. We wish you all the best to come out of this stronger than you are now. Cheers, mate.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. And keep the faith with your real ales. There is nothing like a proper pint of ale out of a hand pump, even if it has to go into a plastic takeaway container. It is much better, in my opinion, than anything you'll get from a supermarket.
Well, you can't keep a good publican down, can you? We certainly wish Rob every success with all those plans for this year. He's a real local hero. And fingers crossed that we get back to something approaching normality for pubs across the whole of the UK soon.
that rum. He's the whole package, isn't he? The dream landlord. What a guy. Yeah. And it's brilliant the way he was able to extend the idea to provide off sales so he could sell veggies to the local community. You know, and creating the online vote recordings for that's fantastic, isn't
yeah.
it? And actually raising money for charity during the first lockdown. I remember in a previous episode we talked about all of the amazing charity work that pubs are involved with, and seeing that continuing through lockdown like this. I know there's many other examples of pubs across the country who have done it. It just shows what can be done, you know. And I think I'm actually, I wish I was doing still my quote at the end of each episode, because I'd take Rob's words. I love what he says. There's nothing like beer from the hand pump, so keep the faith.
There. Absolutely. And I mean, pubs have been innovative. Our local pub, the Wheat Sheaf, when they weren't allowed to sell beer direct in the most recent lockdown and it had to be deliveries only, they got a delivery team together and they're delivering beer. It's just great the way pubs have responded to try and make things work as best they can during the lockdown. And obviously with the one we've just heard, despite Bulldog, as far as I'm aware, the last time I checked, not being on a tropical beach.
Hang on. No, it's not.
He's managed to open an outside bar and increase year-on-year sales in the most difficult of years. So I'm sure a lot of publicans will be listening to that and having ideas for their own pubs because, as I was just saying, so many licensees have worked really hard. They've installed lots of outdoor heating and seating to make sure they are COVID safe and to welcome the customers back when they can. And just recently, that investment's, of course, been lying around unused. So I really hope that things are going to change when they can open their gardens again, which is going to be the first thing happening, and that the weather will turn for them as well.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. Let's hope for a lovely Easter and beyond. Right then, it's almost time for us to dive into the archive, but just before we do, there are a few changes on their way for What's Brewing as it plans to go fully digital from May this year. So if you still get it in print, a little bit like me, I must confess, I do like to hold it in my hands, the April edition will be the very last one, so get yourself a frame and put it on the wall, because the new digital platform, which sounds very swish, doesn't it, can really customise the news that you get online in this, and you can have it by an email newsletter or read it directly online, and Camera hasn't forgotten about the branches and their magazines.
Yeah, no, I mean, they've been suffering, what with the beer festivals getting cancelled and pubs closed. It's a tricky time, isn't it? And there's no way to get printed magazines or newsletters out to readers because of that. So Camera's encouraging local writers to submit stories and features, and they can be published along with What's Brewing.
And if you don't like reading online, and lots of people don't, so there will be an 8-page What's Brewing insert in Beer magazine, which will start in the autumn. But now we're looking into the archives, and this week we're going all the way back to 1978 and an appeal from a brewer called John Boothroyd.
Yes, we certainly are turning back the clock for this first one of the season. And for those of you old enough to remember, 1978 also marks the year that the world's first baby was born through vitro fertilisation. The lady in question, Louise Brown, is now 42 years old. Little bit of trivia there, one for many new parents here on the show.
Yeah, we should have said, of course, at the start, huge congratulations to you and of course, to Katie and Rebecca, who are behind the scenes on the show as well, and now on leave looking after their new additions. Of course, Katie wasn't behind the scenes, she was very much in front of the scenes, but both looking after little ones now.
Yeah, it was certainly interesting trying to read my latest edition of Beer Magazine with a toddler on one knee and a baby in arms in the other, but we managed it. I just had to turn it into a story time with Daddy, although my wife wasn't impressed with us talking about you know, the campaign for real ale to my 3-year-old toddler.
You've got to start them young.
Exactly, Claire. At least somebody's with me.
I love it. You got babies on the brain. How many baby-based facts can you shoehorn in? According to the article, John Boothroyd was creating his own, I'll tell you what, here's a baby joke for you, in vitro fermentation, not fertilisation. Yeah, that's good.
But growing his own pint.
Dude, growing his own pint.
I wonder if his pint needed as many nappies as my baby did.
Right. I'll tell you what. So John was apparently the owner of Britain's smallest commercial brewery, located in the basement of his Yorkshire house. It's fantastic, isn't
Brilliant.
It? And now, the article says, he's looking to expand his brewery because demand was really high. And apparently his extra strong traditional real ale was sold in bottles at his home brew shop in York. I imagine that is literally a home brew shop. in his home, and he was appealing to anyone with suitable premises that he could move into in York to help him to grow his production. That's amazing.
It's very Yorkshire as well, and I hope those in Yorkshire listening don't mind me saying so. But it's, you know, the brew was, of course, super popular, and he's quoted as saying, "Demand has overstepped production. People come from all over the country, and it's terribly embarrassing to tell them we've sold out." Can you imagine? You trek all the way up to Yorkshire if it's all to turn around.
Well, according to the local history society, he and his wife Avril ran the shop in Bishopthorpe Road, very near the Swan and round the corner from the Ship Inn, two great pubs and good beer guide regulars. And the shop was appropriately called Best Cellars. Now, that's cellars as in basement. You're ahead of me there. And it was open right up until the 1990s.
Wow.
Oh, so his shop was around the proper thing. I just had the idea of people knocking on his door and saying, "Can I come down to the basement with a pint glass?" And just getting it. It's a proper operation. Amazing. So there is a funny bit, though, where the article ends by telling people, he just does a little piece, says, please call me before turning up at the house to avoid disappointment. That's I didn't know whether that was
suspicion from other people.
People coming around. I don't know whether they're asking for beer or just offering him their premises. Come round to my house. Make the beer in my basement, please. That would be a good offer. But now, we don't know, sadly, whether John Beaver had found the bigger premises he wanted, or he managed to increase production by other means. I've tried to look him up. I've been doing a bit of online stalking, but all I could find was a North Yorkshire planning permission application in his name. Nothing conclusive.
Didn't say for a brewery.
Six-acre extension.
It did say change of use, but he might be keeping it really broad on there. So I tell you what, though, if anyone listening can fill any of the gaps in with this story, if they know what happened, please get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. As you know, we're on Twitter at PubsPintsPeople. So yeah, drop us a line. Tell us what happened.
And now it's time for last orders and recommendations for our listeners, beers or indeed ciders that you've discovered recently.
Well, I can't say I've discovered anything recently. I was kind of my beer of the week this week, if you like, has really been driven by me sitting down and doing that story time with the beer magazine, because there was a great article in there. I mean, they're all great articles, but the one that really stood out was the one about Bass and Bass Draft and how it was possibly the most successfully marketed beer in England. And when, you know, you start reading about something, I thought, well, I really fancy one of those now. So I ended up getting myself a ruck of them, and I've enjoyed those this week. I know that then it's nothing too innovative or sexy or different, but it's something that's been with us for a few years, and I know that listeners may remember the original recipes and probably argue that the stuff today isn't as good, but I certainly enjoyed it at tea time with my dinners this week.
Oh, that's interesting, because I'm sort of with a more traditional one as well. Well, I think it's been around since not the same recipe, but the beer has been around, I think, since the 1800s and something. That's Old Ale. Adnams Old is one of my favourites. It's a seasonal winter ale, and I've been enjoying that it's a bit brighter now, but when it was really cold and wintry, again, our local pub was delivering beers, and this was one of the ones they delivered, and you can't beat a drop of Adnams Old on a winter January night. I think we'd done a 20-mile bike ride that day as well, and coming home to a pint of Adnams Old is just the ticket.
That sounds lovely, that. Well, I tell you what, I've got a confession to make. So I did dry January
this time
and made it all the way through. But just to reassure all the brewers out there, I kept my end up. I kept ordering beer as if I was still drinking throughout January. So I kept on the old beauty. So in fact, if anything, I ordered more just through guilt. So I've actually now, like in kind of February and March, got a bit of a backlog, and some of them are actually quite Christmassy because I kind of ordered them in the kind of late December. So I've been enjoying this week a Wiper and True is the brewery, and it's a plum pudding porter.
Is
not the right season, really, and a little bit late for that. But it's been absolutely delicious. And as I say, now the good thing is I've got a lovely backlog to work my way through, which made it all worthwhile.
And as Matt said, we've mentioned it throughout the episode, but Brew2U, the app, is still very much on the go and still up there, available from your app stores. Do make sure, if you've not got it already, that you download Brew2U from the app store. It's where you can support local breweries in your area, and there are other breweries that deliver nationally as well. Let's support the effort right up until we get those pubs open again, and indeed beyond. Right, well, I think it's enough time to tell you about just one more thing, and that's the next episode. We'll be back on the 16th of March, that's Camera's actual 50th birthday, to learn all about Landen, which of course has a long history as a beer city. And we'll have the interviews with people from Truman's Brewery that's been around in the East End since 1666, and the small beer company over the river in Bermondsey, which is a bit more of a newcomer, having been founded in 2017. And there are quite a few other differences too, which you'll find more about in the next episode of Pubs, Pints, People. So make sure you tune in then. For now, cheers, everyone.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
How does a free case of beer sound?
Yes, you can grab a case for free courtesy of our pals at Beer 52 by going to www.beer52.com/people, that's the numbers 52 in the 52, and covering the meagre postage cost of £5.95. And what's more, as a special offer for our listeners, they'll throw in 2 extra beers for free, so that's 10 unique craft beers.
Beer 52 is actually the biggest beer club in the world. Each month, they send their members a case of beer from a different part of the world, and this month it's an absolute belter. Their great European road trip case takes in the best beers from across the continent.
So try a crisp, refreshing Pilsner from Norway's Lervig Brewery and a monster 7.5 double IPA from Sweden's Durges Brewery. On the dark side this month, there's a smooth stout from Copenhagen's Tuol. There's also beer from Croatia, Poland, Germany, Serbia and Austria, among others.
And if dark beer's not your thing, you can choose the light-only case. Also included is the ever-insightful Ferment magazine and a couple of tasty snacks. And even if, after all that, you're still unsatisfied, you can simply pause or cancel at any time.
So head over to www.beer52, that's the numbers 5 and 2, .com/people to claim your free case of 10 beers now.